And I would just like to introduce our speakers for this session, Lynn Drapeau, René Lambert-Bretière, and Yvette Molin. I guess Lynn isn't here.
Lynn is not here.
No. And they are going to be talking about non-standard transcription of Innu, an essential ingredient of its documentation.
Hi, thank you for being here after lunch. So I'm René Lambert-Bretière, and my colleague here is Yvette Molin. And I will be talking about Innu and transcription of our Innu data. The issue of transcription format does not arise for languages with a long-standing written tradition, or not so much for long-standing written tradition, for which the use of the standard orthography will be the obvious first choice. But the selection of a transcription format in the case of languages for which the question of writing standard is more sensitive or not a simple issue for the community, then this selection may be problematic. So this talk addresses the impact that this transcription format can have on the linguistic analysis of the data on the one hand, and on the overall value of the language documentation on the other. And we propose the use of a multi-tiered transcription system for the documentation of the Innu language. So it looks like this, but I will be explaining a bit more. We have a standard orthography line, but the glossing and interalignment is made from the text line, and this text line is non-standard transcription. And then we have an additional line that I will be discussing. It's our third line, and it's a dialectal line to represent more morphophonological specificities. Okay, so a bit more on Innu. So Innu is an Algonquian language spoken in Quebec and Labrador. So you see here the map. Maybe it's not so clear, but the area where Innu is spoken is circled here, so it's quite a large territory in Quebec. And it's spoken by roughly 13,000 speakers, scattered in these 11 communities, 10 in Quebec and 1 in Labrador. And it has been the subject of intensive grammatical and sociolinguistic analysis by, among others, our colleague Lynn Drapeau over the past 30 years. And she has just published a grammar of the language last year. But I showed in a paper published in 2011 that there is no suitable linguistic documentation of the language to ensure its conservation and preservation, according to theoretical ground in the domain. So following this, the project on the Innu language documentation has started in 2012, and the objectives of this project are to document and describe the language, to ensure its long-term conservation by providing access to a large corpus of transcribed and annotated oral recordings in formats exploitable by both speakers and specialists, and to support the speakers of Innu in their efforts and desire to maintain and promote their language. And so the first part of the project is, well, was and still is centered on, well, the digitizing part is done for older material, but we're still in the analyzing process of the corpus of oral recordings. And we use a toolbox for this that can be criticized, but it is free, and there is a French version of this software, which is also a good point for the Innu language. And this initial corpus with which we work comprises narratives by monolingual speakers recorded by Lynn Drapeau in the community of Pessamit in the 80s. And they are mainly legends and free conversations centered around interviewees' life stories. And so the first step in analyzing recordings is the transcription. That's the first thing we do. And so this step and translation in French was undertaken by native Innu speakers from the same community. So texts from Bessemet were translated and transcribed by speakers from the same community. And of course, the initial choice of transcription system was the standard orthography, because there is a standard orthography of Innu. I will be discussing this in a bit. And also because, as it was pointed out by several authors, if the orthography exists, then we must use it in the documentation. It allows accessibility of the data to for the members of all the communities. It allows exportability of the documentation for other uses, pedagogical, even to publish stories, so literary and even literacy purposes. And also because this orthography... Okay. Analyzing. Okay. This orthography is already used in the Innu dictionaries that are published, and even the latest one is online. So this orthography, as well, depending on where you start, long. Ouais, je sais.
Vas-y, parle. Je l'ai pas connu. Okay.
Yeah, so depending on where you start, this orthography exists since the 80s, but is really officially recognized since 1997. It is still young in a sense, and so difficulties are encountered with the use of this orthography. Speakers don't master this common orthography because they are used to their own way of writing the language. There are many dialectal idiosyncrasies that are not reflected in this orthography. And over that, extensive grammatical variations between dialects. So I'm just going to present briefly what I mean by Innu dialects. So here you see a map with all the different communities, and basically we distinguish between two dialect group, the L dialects, so using L. Two communities use L, Matsiliach and Pessamit, and there are... Ouais, mais c'est pas ça.
It comes back, but...
Yeah, I know, but it's really bizarre. I don't know why.
Yeah. I'll just keep going. It does
okay.
Come back.
Yeah. And there are, yeah. And there are N dialects, which are spoken on the eastern part of Quebec. And you see that there are more N dialects than there are L dialects. And further dialectological work on grammatical variation showed that there are two dialect groups, the Western dialects comprising the dialects circled in the blue shade, and the Eastern dialects, often called as Mamet variety, showed here in the yellow circle. So you have two different types of variation, the NL dialects and then grammatically based dialects. Okay, so let's get into the issue of the transcription. So here you see in the first line a transcription provided. So this is a text from Bessemet, so the Western Western dialect, so L dialect and Western dialect. And here on the second line, you see the standard orthography. So the color is not coming up really bright, but there are many differences that I've highlighted here. The NL difference is one of them. Some idiosyncrasies that you will see on the final verb there. Some vowels are not pronounced the same way. And there's also a contrastive pitch that I will be discussing very briefly for the Pessamit version. So there are notable differences between the two. Okay, so let's start by addressing the NL variation. So only two varieties of Innu have retained this L, Pessamit and Matsiuyac. And N is found in all dialects. So even Pessamit and Matsiuyac have an N phoneme. So the decision for the standard orthography is just to get rid of the L and just keep the N. But when documenting the Pessamit variety, we want to record this L. So the adjustment that was adopted was to use a kind of N with a script, like a diacritic on it. So it's still an N, but not quite an N. So it allows people from the Western variety, from the L dialects, to read this N as an L. Okay. A second point that I want to address are these grammatical idiosyncrasies. Because as the Eastern dialects, I should have an S there, is more conservative, it served as the basis for the spelling of grammatical morphology. And so all irregularities are not reflected in the written system. Because these paradigms and other conjugations where these irregularities came up were regularized. So there are many dialectal idiosyncrasies when you look at oral productions. And so our solution is to distinguish between the orthography and the actual transcription line. And so what you have here is an example where the orthography is not the same as the text. So I'm not going to read this, maybe you can. But anyway, so the first line has a T at the end, ending, but the speaker really uses a kao ending. And so we want to enter a line on the actual production by the speaker and not on the orthography. So that's the first solution we got. So distinguish between orthography and the actual transcription in the text line. Okay, another point is about the pronunciation of vowels. So here I'm going to discuss Pessamit variety because underlying long vowels are maintained but shortened in the Pessamit variety. So here you have nipish for leaf and napeu for man, underlying long vowels. But these vowels, when they are short, they are centralized. So for Pessamit, they are all schwa. So I'm not going to pronounce this sleeve, but la shenikin, something like this. Yes. So you see that all short vowels are neutralized to schwa. And there's a third problem with vowels when it's u, because the long u is maintained long in the Pessamit variety, and the short u is sometimes kept as a short U, but sometimes centralized as a schwa. And this is just normal, you know, phonology, and we see these processes in other languages. But the problem comes with the transcription, because speakers don't know how to transcribe these schwa, because they are all schwa, so they don't know which short vowels to put there. So sometimes they put an E vowel, sometimes it's an A, sometimes it's a U. And even sometimes they use the E based on French, because the E vowel is pronounced E in French. Mm-hmm. So for the vowels, it's a bit, as you feel for the speaker. So The possible solution for this would be to just adapt the phonetic transcription and to transcribe schwa when it's schwa. But it's not desirable because there is variation across dialects. So these schwa are not schwa for other varieties. They are schwa for the Pessamit variety. So if we choose to transcribe phonetically, then we lost this cross-dialectal comparison. And also this problem with schwa is only for short vowels, not for long vowels. So the cost of using a phonetic transcription is too high. So we just decided to keep the short vowels and just to make the spell check and correct the transcription by the speakers, just to change the short vowels by the speakers when there were mistakes. And as we just saw, it seems that length, so vowel length, predicts the pronunciation. So long vowels are maintained, short vowels are centralized to schwa, and then there's a problem with u, but it's still length that will overall predict the pronunciation. So we could just add length in the text line. So length was never used in the standard orthography in Innu. It's used in Cree, if you've seen other presentation on other Algonquian languages. Some other languages have made different choices as to length, vowel length, but Innu is not writing length in the standard orthography. So we could include length in the text line, and that would solve our vowel problem. But then, again, variation. There is variation between dialects as a result of historical change. So some vowels that are long in the Eastern dialects may be short in the Western ones. So we cannot transcribe long and short vowels in a uniform way. So here you just see an example from Pessamit. The first one is short, the second one is long. So you have Gatak, and the second one from her dialect.
Gatak.
So two long vowels. So here you would have the first one transcribed with a short and a long vowel, and the second one, same word, but transcribed with two long vowels. So it's not desirable. We don't want to have a different lexicon from the same language, for the same language. So we need to record these vowel length. But if we choose to do so in the text line, each variety would be transcribed differently, and subsequently, working with toolbox, we would interalign with different lexicon or double lexical entries for, you know, varieties. So we decided to use separate transcription lines for these morphophonological differences, but in lexical entries. So within the lexical entry, so the lexeme there is the text line, but under that you have the length of vowels for all the dialects. So here I've put just the two as an example. So Pes for Pessamit and Shesh for Sheshachit, another variety from the Eastern and spoken in Labrador. And you see the first one for Raft, for the Pessamit version, two short vowels in the Pessamit line. And it's pronounced metesh, so two schwa. But for the Sheshachit version, the first one is a long vowel and the second one is a short, and they don't centralize. So you have mi tush. So first long, second short. So it allows us to encode vowel length, but not as part of the text line, but more in the interalignment process. And so from one lexicon, we can interalign text from different varieties. So if it's a variety from Pessamit, then we choose the Pessamit line. If it's from another variety, then we choose the other line. So that's what it gives. So you see here it's Pessamit, and you have the long vowels marked. And there's something with the U that we've decided, but I'm not going to discuss this for lack of time. And And another point is the contrastive pitch, which is a big issue for Western dialects. The loss of final, many different processes, but basically some morphemes, final degemination, and loss of final vowels provoke a contrastive pitch on the preceding vowel. So here you have the plural, bi, du, zit, the second one. And the H there is not realized. So this pre-aspiration caused a contrastive pitch on the preceding vowel. And this is this pitch that will be morphologically indicative of the plural. And so we've decided to encode this pitch in the dialectal line because it's not everywhere. The H is realized in other varieties, but not in Pissamite. So we use this diacritic low tone to indicate that this H is realized as a low tone for Pissamite. All in all, this is our proposal for the transcription of Innu in the document, in really within the documentation project. We don't advocate for, you know, starting to write dialectically because there is this standard orthography, but for the documentation purposes, I think it's really important to reflect the actual variety that we're documenting. So the first line is orthography, and we can export text with the written standard orthography. The text line is the grammatical version of this dialect. And then we have the dialectal morphophonological line encoding specificities of each of the dialects. So this is an overall example of what it gives. So the first line, you have a difference, a grammatical difference between the orthography and the text line. You have the N with the diacritic there, showing that it's an L for the Western variety. You have the loss, well, the final vowel is not pronounced and realized as a low tone in the Pissamite version. So all in all, we get an accurate portrait of this variety of Innu. Okay, in conclusion, so our choice of transcription system makes this documentation more valuable as it retains standard orthography, but also records dialectal idiosyncrasies and indicates morphophonological information such as vowel length and contrastive pitch. And overall, this multi-tiered transcription system facilitates comparison with other Innu dialects and Algonquian languages and makes the documentation accessible to the speech community. Thank you.
So we have about 6 minutes for questions.
Yes.
Thanks. So I mean, it's a common problem for many of us that we have different orthographies to deal with, historical documents that we've got that we want to try and reconcile with the current orthography. And it would really require some sort of a tool that allows you to input. And I just wonder if you have this as well. I mean, you're dealing with this in your current text, but if you have legacy material, if you've developed any kind of tool which lets you convert from various.
Yeah, I think that would be the best way to do it and not do it by hand.
Yeah.
We're using the, we were lucky because this project, we're using the lexicon on Toolbox that was developed for the Pan Innu dictionary, and they did all this work for us, indicating long vowels and dialectal differences, and it was done by hand. But I think it would be the ultimate goal to have this automatically done.
Well, but I noticed, I mean, in some of your examples that, you know, there was the N and the L.
Oh, yeah, but that's...
N, so is it a lexically determined?
Oh, no. This is really more political because this is an ongoing problem, the difference between L and N. And this solution of this N diacritic was proposed many years ago, but was never really accepted. So this is a compromise that was acceptable for all. But within Toolbox, we could have just ruled you know, changing L and it wouldn't be really a problem. But here it's really a matter of exporting. So if we decide to export the text line for the PCMIT community, then the L is indicated. Yes.
Niscafi has a similar situation where you do a lot of text glossing in Niscafi using Toolbox and now Flex. I have a question for your procedure. The top line you showed on the transcription is the the orthographic, but does Toolbox look at that, or is that there for reference?
There for reference.
Okay, very good. This toolbox,
doesn't look at the orthography, it looks at the text line.
Toolbox is parsing from the text
from
line.
From the text line.
Perfect, yeah, very good.
So the orthography was kept, because we couldn't find a solution just keeping the orthography.
Yeah, we do exactly the same thing in Niscafi, because the Niscafi script does not distinguish long vowels.
Yeah.
So we create a text line that has the long vowels in it and parse them.
Yeah, exactly. So. Same type of decision that we made, except that the vowel length is lower in the hierarchy.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yes.
Can you tell me something about the parsing of your sound file? You have ELAN behind, or you just, for instance, this sentence, right? I see the word.
Oh, no, we just used, because it was done by Inu speakers, ELAN is just heavy and complicated. Yeah, we use transcriber.
And but there is no, I'm thinking of ahead in the future, right?
Yeah.
If you want to build speech recognition, that database would be useful if there was a parsing between your text line and maybe not, you know, yeah, I guess your text would not just be sentence, right? It's the whole thing, right? So the parsing
we left this decision to the speaker. So sometimes speakers choose to cut very short intonation unit, and sometimes they feel that they cannot break the sentence. So we have examples going for many, many lines.
Right, but is there connected to an annotated sound file? In other words, a sound file that has the breaks? Or was the sound file cut?
Oh, no, it was not cut.
It just tagged.
Yeah, it just tagged, yes.
Right, but so presumably
but we could.
You have the annotated sound file.
Yes.
And you can establish the relationship.
Yes.
Right, so when you click in Toolbox on your web thing, it goes to the annotated sound file, right?
So we can hear them.
And so technically for future use, that kind of material could be used to build speech recognition.
Oh, yes.
Dialectal information between that and the standard so that you could set your speech recognition onto PESAMIT, for example, here, and then start teaching the machine, you know, teaching the software to do speech recognition. So it's another valuable application of your work.
Yeah, thank you.
I have not seen
it. No, I didn't. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Well,
very
thank you very much.
I gave you a bit.